With you this morning, I invite you and encourage you to open with me to the book of Psalms. We'll be looking at Psalm 78. We'll read this morning verses 9 through 16, though our sermon will only be on Psalm 78, verse 9. So we come this morning to Psalm 78, verse 9 through 16. As you do that, I would just make a note that typically when you ordain and install an elder, there's a time for exhorting that elder. And I did not take advantage of that while we were up here, but rather the sermon this morning will be geared at the elder's possessions and responsibilities. So that is what we come to consider this morning from Psalm 78. We'll read verses 9 through 16, though our sermon will only be on verse 9. Please hear the word of our God this morning. The Ephraimites, armed with the bow, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant, but refused to walk according to his law. They forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. In the sight of their fathers, he performed wonders in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan. He divided the sea and let them pass through it, and made the waters stand like a heap. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a fiery light. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. He made the streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers. As far as the reading of the Lord's word, may he bless it. Please join me again in prayer. O our gracious and our merciful Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word discloses to us the great and eternal truths, that you have revealed yourself to us through these words, that you have revealed your will for our salvation and the duties that we owe to you through your word. We pray that as we look this morning at this tragic verse, verse 9, of the Ephraimites, though armed with the bow, turning back in the day of battle, that you, O Lord, would keep your shepherds and your people from turning back, that you would help us to be faithful to the responsibilities that you have given to us. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Psalms give us more theology than we sometimes acknowledge or recognize. Throughout these 150 Psalms, it's fair to say that they touch on every major head of Christian doctrine. And one of the great distinguishing things about the Psalms is that it's filled, unlike any other book in the Bible, with songs. That here in these songs, we have songs of praise, and we have songs of lament, and we have songs that have been turned into prayers. And the Psalms similarly touch upon the psychology of the human heart and the mind. It deals with our emotions and giving us appropriate ways to vent those emotions and the experiences that we endure in the course of our life. And as with Psalm 78, we see that the psalmists often use the history of God's people, what God has done for them in the course of their lives, in order to remind and exhort and even at times to warn and encourage later generations. And indeed, that's what we have here in Psalm 78, that Asaph, as he is writing this, recounts the history of Israel. He recounts the wondrous deeds that the Lord had done for the people as they were led out of Egypt and of the faithfulness and obedience that they owed to God. And yet, as we read throughout these verses, we read a tragic account that Israel failed to be faithful to their God despite the wonders that he worked amongst them. Here in verse 9, we have a very simple and pithy statement where Asaph turns to reflect likely on the battle of Shiloh. If you remember that battle occurring in the book of 1 Samuel, chapters 4 and 5, this is when Israel rose up to go out against the Philistines. And they got this harebrained idea that in order to be victorious in this battle, they thought that they would bring the Ark of the Covenant to the front lines of the battle. And so the priests carried it up there. And as we read in the account there in 1 Samuel, we read that the Philistines overcame the Israelites and that they captured the Ark of the Covenant and brought it back to their camp. What we read of here in verse 9 is that Asaph laments the Ephraimites. Now, the Ephraimites, they were one of the 12 tribes of Israel. They descended from Joseph's son Ephraim. Remember from the book of Genesis that Ephraim was preeminently blessed by the hand of Jacob, that though he was the younger brother, that Jacob gave Ephraim the covenant blessings and promises and did not give those to Manasseh. We also know that not only was the tribe of Ephraim preeminently blessed, but this was Joshua's tribe. This was the tribe of the man who led Israel into the promised land to defeat the Canaanites out of the promised land. This was a tribe that was meant to be renowned for their skill in war and battle and their bravery and their courage. They were a distinguished tribe. And here in verse 9, we read that the Ephraimites were armed with the bow. They didn't lack the power and they didn't lack the prestige that they needed in order to engage the Philistines here on the plains of Shiloh and to succeed and to destroy their enemies. But we read in this verse of the lament that though this esteemed tribe was armed with the bow, that they turned back on the day of battle. These men, this distinguished tribe, these individuals who were armed with the bow, they were meant to be the valiant and the courageous ones, but they turned back in the day of war. They were meant to be the rallying cry for Israel to gather their forces and muster their strength against the Philistines, but they turned back in the day of battle. And they were meant to use the bows that they were armed with great precision to kill the enemies of God's people. Yet we read the lament here that they turned back in the day of battle. They despised their responsibility, and so they despised the possession that God Himself had given to them. This morning we have had the wonderful opportunity to ordain another ruling elder to care for Christ's flock here at Providence. We don't want to do anything that would steal away from the immense joy and the immense happiness that this ought to bring to us, to see that indeed the risen Christ is with His people and continuing to minister to His church, and He's being faithful to raise up godly men to lead fearlessly and courageously and boldly the flock of God. And yet, even though it is a day of rejoicing, it is also a day to remember the Ephraimites, to remember that though they were distinguished and armed with the bow, that indeed in the day of battle, they turned back. I have two simple points in a very brief sermon this morning to see how the Ephraimites relate to the office of the ruling elder. And our first point as we consider this is to consider the possessions of ruling elders, and particularly to consider the possessions that Hosea Horniman has as he has been duly set apart and elected and ordained here as a ruling elder. Consider the possessions that ruling elders had. We read here in verse 9 that the Ephraimites, that they were armed with the bow. They had everything that they needed to engage in successful warfare against their enemies. And as we have ordained Hosea, and as I would remind Hosea, consider the possessions that you are armed with. Consider the possessions that God Himself has given to you. Well, what are those possessions? First, we see that you possess the Father's calling. You possess the Father's calling to this office as a ruling elder. Now, it is a precious treasure of Presbyterian polity that it is the congregation who elects her officers. The officers of this church don't impose individuals or men upon you to lead you, but as the history of Presbyterianism has taught, one of our hallmarks is that elders are elected from the body, from the congregation of believers at individual local churches. And yet, despite that this is a hallmark of our polity, how often we misunderstand it and we distort it. Because when we think of elders and ruling elders and this opportunity to elect them, sometimes we get a little too vocational in our thinking about them, or we get a little too business-minded concerning them, or a little too politically minded. We think that our ruling elders being elected to this office of being an elder serve at our desires, that we elect them much like we elect our president or our other legislators, or that we appoint them to fulfill this position, perhaps as a CEO would fulfill a position in his business. We can oftentimes get distracted, and when we say that we elect individuals to the office of elder, we can get too vocational or business or politically minded. How important it is for not only Hosea to remember, but for everybody to remember that this calling is not a calling that is founded in anything in us, but that is chiefly and primarily the calling of God the Father. Paul, as he wrote to the church in Corinth there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, reminds the church, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. In the day of battle, Hosea, you must remember that you possess the calling of the Father. That this call into this office is one that God Himself has placed upon your life. That it is God who has set you apart. That you do not serve the whims and the fancies and the ideologies of individuals, but that you serve the will of your Father who has called you into this position. You serve not man, but you serve God. And I can only imagine that in the heat of real battle, what an encouragement and what a confidence this is, that as soldiers engage the enemy on the battlefield, to remember that they are serving at the calling of a general who has taken in with his wisdom and his goodness the whole field of battle and has appointed these soldiers for this war. Hosea, you possess the calling of the Father. But not only do you possess the calling of the Father, you also possess Christ's giftings. How miserable it is when an individual is called to do something, but they don't have the gifts or the means to carry it out. That they have a purpose, but they have no means of fulfilling that purpose. See, the office of elder isn't a calling that anybody can attain to. It's not a calling that you can purchase like Simon Magus attempted to purchase the apostolic gift. It's not an office that just anybody can wake up one morning and decide, I want to be an elder and I have everything required to fulfill this office. It's not an easy task. And it's not an easy ministry, but you do have the gifts of Christ Himself. Paul, writing to the church in Rome, reminds them of their leaders that they have gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to you. And the Lord, even as the church has borne testimony to this Hosea, we confess that Christ Himself has given you the gifts that you need to faithfully carry out your responsibilities and your ministry here at Providence Presbyterian. That Christ has gifted you with the wisdom that you need to discern and to shepherd and to tend the flock of Christ. That Christ has given you the knowledge that you need to study and to show yourself as an approved workman who is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That He has gifted you with that faithfulness and that integrity and that responsibility that He Himself calls you to. And as we have set you apart with these gifts, you have the need to fan them into flames. But I would remind Providence that not only has Christ gifted our dear brother with the gifts that he needs to fulfill this, but I would remind you that Hosea himself is a gift of Christ to this church. Paul, as he was writing in his letter to Ephesus, speaking of Christ's exaltation into glory, he wrote that when Christ ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. And what were these gifts? Paul goes on and he says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. And that is indeed what we have ordained and installed Hosea as a shepherd and a teacher of this church. Providence, Hosea is a gift to you. He is a gift of the resurrected and the glorified Jesus Christ who is tending and caring for his church through him. Hosea possesses the giftings of Christ, and he is the gift of Christ to this church. But Hosea, you also possess the Spirit's empowering. Not only do you possess the Father's calling and Christ's gifting, but the Spirit's empowering. A man of great gifts and a man of calling would be a completely useless instrument to the church if he did not have the power of the Spirit. We may appear, individuals at times may appear without the Spirit to be a blazing comet in the sky of this world and of this church, but how quickly men will fizzle out if they have not the power of the Spirit. But the promise of the Bible is that he doesn't leave us powerless. He doesn't leave our elders powerless, but that the Spirit has armed you, Hosea, with everything that you need to continue and to persevere and to endure through the difficulties and the challenges that ministry calls us to. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, so succinctly summarized this, writing, "I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." And as you have been called and as you have been gifted, indeed it is the Spirit himself who will powerfully work through you. And so, Hosea, you are to remember your possessions. You are armed with the bow. You are armed with the Father's calling. You are armed with Christ's gifting. You are armed with the Spirit's empowering. The Holy Trinity himself has given you all that you stand in need of to be faithful to this ministry. But not only do we see the Ephraimites and their possessions, but we also read of their responsibilities. And so I would remind you as well of your responsibilities. It is possible, as the Ephraimites did, to scorn the possessions of God. So what these Ephraimites did, being armed with the bow, they scorned their responsibility by turning back in the day of battle. Their bows weren't given to them to simply adorn their shoulders so that they might look like fierce and mighty warriors, but they were meant to use these bows to engage in the battle that the Lord himself had called them to. And as we remember the Ephraimites this morning, we remember the somber warning here that you cannot afford to scorn the possessions that God himself has given to you. That you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility, Hosea, to lead. You are first to lead God's people in the faith and in truth. As an elder, you have been given a very high and a very holy commission. And we live in a day and age of great turbulent times when the church is being denigrated. When the doctrines and the truth that we contend for are being assailed not only by non-Christians, but by individuals within the church itself saying doctrine and truth and theology are inconsequential, that these things unnecessarily divide, that they are the traditions and the commandments of men. And we live in a day and age when religious pluralism rules the thoughts and the minds of many, and people who are making a mockery of the gospel and of the ministry of the church. We are in a time of war. And Hosea, you are a watchman on the walls of Zion. And how the church needs you to teach them the faith. And to faithfully and diligently shepherd his people. Paul admonishing Timothy, who was set apart as a teaching elder, but an elder nonetheless, admonished him to keep a close watch on himself. And Paul, admonishing the elders in Acts 20 of the church of Ephesus, told them, keep a close watch on all the flock of God. For destructive wolves will creep in that seek to destroy the church. And Hosea, you have a responsibility to lead in the faith. You have a responsibility to rule in humility and in a servile manner. You have the responsibility to defend the doctrines of this church as they are summarized in the Westminster Standards. You have a particular regard to guard the faithfulness and the purity of this pulpit and of the minister who stands here week in and week out. And you have the responsibility to lead in faith by cherishing the peace and the purity and the unity of this church in order that we might continue to be a pillar and a buttress of the truth. In all things, Hosea, you are to lead in faith by leading God's people to Jesus Christ in everything that you do. But not only are you to lead in faith, but your responsibility calls you to lead God's people in life. Puritan minister once said, and though this is a quote that pertained to a preacher, I think it finds its mark for ruling elders as well, that a shepherd can have the tongue of an angel and the heart of a devil. And the sombering reality here is that, Hosea, we would remind you that your doctrine must be adorned by godliness. That the faith that you contend for, that the faith that you teach, that the faith that you instruct individuals in must be brought to bear upon your own heart and your own soul and your own life. Your orthodoxy must be adorned with orthopraxy. And so you are called not only to lead in the faith by teaching and guarding and nourishing and shepherding, but you are called to lead in humility and to lead in love and to lead in compassion and to lead in gospel firmness and gospel gentleness and in faithfulness. And even at times you are called to lead in repentance. You must lead not only in doctrine, but in life. And you must guard first and foremost your own soul, lest after ministering to others, you yourself should become disqualified. Paul told Timothy, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. And after you care for your own soul, Hosea, your second primary responsibility is to tend to your own household. One of the greatest ways that you minister and you lead this church is by caring for your wife and your four sweet children and discipling them in the admonition of the Lord, in shepherding their hearts first and in shepherding your family and being a good caretaker of your household. And only after you have taken care of yourself and your family, then are you called to tend to the church of Jesus Christ. Then are you called to tend to the shepherds here at Providence. And in all things, you must show them a life that is possessed with an ambition of declaring and making known the glory of God in all things for the joy of all peoples by Jesus Christ. You are to lead by knowing your continual dependence upon the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea, you have been given the very possessions of the triune God himself. And how this verse calls you and reminds you not to scorn your responsibility. But dear congregation, these words are not only spoken for the encouragement and the edification of Hosea alone, but they are spoken for you as well. Because this day, as you have seen another man duly called and raised up and ordained and set apart to the ministry of elder here at Providence Presbyterian Church, as you have witnessed this day, a man who has the possessions of God himself and this great responsibility, you have witnessed the working of Christ himself. And you are reminded that as you consider his possessions and his responsibility, that it is your privilege that it is your privilege to follow, that it is your privilege to submit, that it is your privilege to encourage, that it is your privilege to fight alongside your brother in the faith. Indeed, these Ephraimites were to go out to war. They were not to go out alone. They may have been called to lead God's people in the attack against the Philistines, but all of God's people were to follow in their courage and in their bravery. And you have the great responsibility to either make Hosea's ministry, as the preacher of Hebrews reminds us, either a joy or a burden. You have the great privilege to remember your dear brother in prayer, even as you remember all of your elders in prayer. And so indeed, today is a great day of rejoicing. It's a happy day for this church that we have the opportunity to witness the ascended Christ blessing his church by raising up another man possessed of all that he needs to carry out this responsibility. But it's also a day, dear friends, to remember the Ephraimites. May it be that it is never said of the elders or of this church that though armed with the bow, we turned back in the day of battle. Let us hope and let us pray that God might continue to give us many years of faithful and prosperous ministry and of love and of union and of joy one with another between the shepherds and the sheep of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Our gracious and our merciful Lord, how we do thank you for your truths and for your promises. How we thank you, O Lord, that you have not left your church to fend for themselves, but that you, O Christ, as a great act of your kingship, have called and set apart and ordained men duly possessed of the gifts that they need to lead in these responsibilities that you have given to them. We pray, O Lord, for all your faithful shepherds, that you would continue to protect, that you would continue to nourish, that you would continue to empower and to sustain them in their ministries, in order that Christ might be greatly glorified in his churches and throughout this world. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us, armed with the bow, not to turn back in the day of battle, but to remember the wondrous deeds that you have worked amongst men, to remember your faithfulness in all things as the chief shepherd of our souls and of this church. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.